Barking Up the Right Tree, A Poppy Mystery Tale, Book 1, written by Lee Russell and read by Helen Keeley. In many ways, I was lucky. Admittedly, my boss had been forced to let me go, as he had put it, but losing my job was no big deal. If anything, I was relieved at being saved the stress of having to make a decision about whether to pack it in or soldier on. Ben had encouraged me to keep going, and I had stuck at it, mainly to please him. Less easy to shrug off was my boyfriend's decision to walk out once he realized I would be at home all day. I wasn't sure exactly what he did, but he worked online from the kitchen table. If I'm honest, I think we both realized our relationship hit a rough patch once I lost my job. We had got along well enough before that, when we were going out every weekend and enjoying a few drinks with friends on weekday evenings. Life had been a blast for us, and we were young enough not to think too far ahead. I had just assumed we would end up together, slowing down when we were ready and maybe buying a home of our own. Although it was hard to see how we could save enough for a deposit when we spent every penny we earned. Sometimes I daydreamed about moving out of London to a quiet little village where white ducks scudded around a pond and we went for long walks and spent our evenings snuggling in front of a cozy fire. That was our life, until I lost my job, and we found ourselves spending more time together, with a lot less money. Before that, our flat in Finsbury Park had been an ideal base for our busy lifestyle, even though we only had one bedroom. That was all we needed, because we were hardly ever there together, except to fall in and out of bed. Ben worked from home, but he only needed his laptop, so that was no problem. Overnight, everything changed. I would have adapted without too much fuss, but it turned out that wasn't good enough for my boyfriend. And so, after living with me for nearly 6 months, Ben packed his bags and walked out a week after I lost my job. His abrupt departure left me devastated. I lay in bed weeping for days after he left, making only a desultory attempt to find another job online. My sole consolation was that my mother didn't know about the split. My sister, Susie, called me one evening, and I blurted out the devastating news. We had always been close, even though she was 10 years older than me, and we rarely saw one another since she had married and moved to Colchester. She had always been unfairly critical of Ben, and she sounded guardedly pleased when she heard that he had left me. But my mother adored Ben. She was bound to make a terrible fuss if she knew we had broken up. She didn't really know Ben very well. But he was a man, and that was enough to make him eligible in her eyes. "You get a ring on your finger before he changes his mind," she told me on more than one occasion, her eyes bright with concern. "For goodness sake, Mum, this is the 21st century, not a Jane Austen novel," was the pithiest response I could come up with. My father was no help, muttering irritably about young people and fecklessness. So when Ben walked out, I was keen to keep the breakup from my parents and swore my sister to secrecy. I saw no point in sharing the news with anyone else in my family. Instead, I reassured my mother that all was well with me, when nothing could have been further from the truth. "Ben's fine," I lied. "My job's great." It was hard enough coping with my heartbreak without having to fend off my mother's fussing. It wasn't as if she was likely to turn up unannounced and discover that Ben had moved out. I did try to find another job, but it wasn't easy, and with no income it was difficult to scrape together enough to pay my rent, let alone go out. The few girlfriends in whom I confided didn't offer much support. They listened to me before launching into monologues about their own...